Welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast, where every week we showcase incredible businesses in rural and northern Canada. Businesses that are not only growing, but are looking to hire.
We're here to show you companies and communities outside of the big cities that are building stronger and more inclusive workplaces. Workplaces that want and are encouraging newcomers, immigrants, and refugees to work with them.
Let us be your guides to help you find the best places in Canada to not only immigrate, but build a career and settle.
I'm your host, Leah Mitchell.
And I am your co-host, Lindsay Rubinek.
Join us as you learn about all of the amazing career opportunities in places that you may not have ever thought of moving.
Let's get started.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast. Today, we are in the Paw, Manitoba, and we have with us Gabrielle Swan. She is a rural community member and the chair of the Destination Marketing Committee. We also have Annalyn Lativio. She has been in the Paw for over 12 years, and she is the manager of the Paw Immigrant Services. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I just have to add, and I mean, I've always loved the North. I moved there when I was younger to Thompson with my husband. He worked for Comair. So I was a teacher up there. He was a pilot. And I just loved it. It was beautiful. And my biggest regret is I didn't get to the Paw and Flin Flon enough. I always wanted to go to the Trappers Festival and I never made it.
There's still time, Leah.
I know.
There's still time.
To do.
We have to get you come back to the Paw.
I know. I know. It's on my list. Yeah. My kids are older now, so I can drive them. So yeah, maybe next year. So we're going to get started right into it. I was really happy that we were able to do this because you both have super cool experiences that I would love to, you know, Lindsay and I want to really chat about, because I think a lot of people don't think about moving north. And I'm always like, you should move north. Even if you don't stay there forever, you probably will end up staying because it's amazing, but it's a great way to just even start your career, get some really cool experiences. I know for myself, when I moved north and taught, I was head of my department in a year. You know, you wouldn't have got that in Winnipeg or a large city. So Annalyn, do you want to kind of start with you? What was your experience? How did you end up moving to the Paw?
It's a long story. So I came to Canada back 2013. So that was over 12 years ago. As a temporary foreign worker, and I had a contract for 2 years to work at Subway, and I didn't even know the Paw. You know, I was searching the place when I was in Taiwan, because prior to this journey in Canada, I was in Taiwan for a contract also for about 6 years. So I worked in a light company. So we have these products called LED, so we inspect them. So I was a visual inspector. I had an opportunity to work there for 6 years, and I met a lot of people, you know, from different, you know, country also, but it's a different lifestyle compared to Canada. So, and in Taiwan is not that far from the Philippines. It was just like 2 hours, you know, if you go, right on the plane. But prior to that, I had 2 year background, you know, teaching back home. But, you know, as I mentioned, you know, it's not enough, you know, to support your family, even to have this job. So you got to find, you know, a good opportunity to get a better life for your family. So that was the experience I had before I came here. And then my journey began when I came to Canada. It was the challenges and lonely, you know, experience, you know, because I have known no one here. Like, I don't have family, even friends. I know my employer, but he wasn't living in the Paw. Like, he lived in Winnipeg. I was far. He just took me here and then brought me here and then dropped me at Subway and then start, you know, working, you know. It's
no supports or anything, like nothing.
Nothing. When I came here, it was just, I just know the place, the Paw, and there's no office like settlement like this in the previous. So it was hard to find resources, you know. I only know the library, so where you can print, you know, and search something, you know, and use their computer. But having a settlement, it was a big relief, you know. That's why I found my passion, you know, to help people, you know, who's coming here and help them, you know, navigate in this community and, you know, shared all the resources that we have.
And have you found the resources have really grown since you've come here? Like, there's a lot more supports for newcomers moving to the Paw?
Yes, yeah. You know, like living here for over 12 years, I've seen the changes, so many changes, you know, a lot of businesses close and also open up, you know, that's the, you know, like changes that I've seen here. A lot of people moving, also coming here. You know, it's a hard decision to live and stay. Yeah, I'm going to stay here. It depends what you want to do. The lifestyle you want. I think if you're young, you want to move to the city and, you know, have their enjoy the life there. But if you are, you know, like, you know, going to this age, like 40, you want a quiet, I think, life. That was the thing that I found here in the park. I was young when I moved here, but then now I'm also. So I live in the city, though. Like, I live in the city. Like, when I was in Taiwan, it was a city. It was a huge city. And then a lot of people, I also have that, you know, like, homesick. I felt the homesick, but it was totally different in Canada because this is far, far from my home. Yeah.
So, Annalyn, how did you, when you got done your Subway contract, or how did you move out from the, so when you were working at Subway, then where did you transition to after that?
I'm glad. Yeah, that's a good question. So when I was in Taiwan, they had this agency. I think they give this poster to people, you know, if you want to work in Canada, there was an opportunity to work in the fast food. That was the biggest hit before, like, okay, you can come and work as a temporary foreign worker, but you have to pay the agency and you have to give them money in order for them to process your paperwork and stuff. So I have a savings when I was in Taiwan because I was working for like almost 6 years when I found that opportunity. And so I said, okay, I'm going to give it a try because my contract is ending, you know, after 6 years and I have to go back to the Philippines. So the money I had before is, I said, I can put up a business, you know, to make it grow. And but then my brain was saying, okay, try Canada, because they're saying, you know, they offer a good, you know, a better opportunity. And then they offered permanent residency for you to bring your family here. So then when I heard that, I said, okay, I'll try that. It was a big decision for me to do it because I have to spend the savings that I had in Taiwan just to pay the agency. Because coming here, it's not just, I've known a lot of people that they came here and they never, you know, go to the agency through direct referral though. And then employer will hire them and come here. But for me, it's a different pathway. I have to decide very smart because the money that I'm making in Taiwan, which is supposed to be, I'm planning to use it for a business. I have to pay the agency just for me to get here. Yeah, so make it short story, short, I came here in 2013. So I think the process, it takes 6 to 7 months. So the agency processes my paperwork, and then I got Subway as an employer. And then I came here, I was so excited. And also, you know, like, you know, nervous a little bit because I don't know the people, I don't know the culture, I don't know who I'm working with, the people that I have to work with. So it was, you know, you have to be brave to do it, I guess. And, you know, don't be scared to meet people and know the people, you know, when you come to the strange places.
And where did you go after Subway? What was your sort of your next step in finding a position after that?
Yes, that's a good question too. So after working at Subway, so I had 2-year contract and then they extended it because I don't have, it was a close work permit. So I can't work with any employer if I decided, you know, and I'm not happy with that job. So even I wasn't happy because, you know, things doesn't go smoothly when you came here. There are limited resources when you are a worker. So even if I wanted to try some new one, I have no choice to stay in that employer. So mm-hmm. I just worked for 4 years. And then sometimes you meet people in your life that will help, you know, to go to the level you wanted. So after I got my PR, after a few years, I think it was back 2017, so like 4 years after. And then that's where I decided to apply for a job at the Northern Health Region. So I got this job. It's a medical receptionist. So I worked there for like 3 years full time. And even up to now, I still work as a part time. So I have to help them, you know, do, if I'm available in the weekends, I do accept some shifts and stuff. And then I found this job after 3 years working at the Northern Health Region. And I found that this is so interesting to me. And every time I met newcomers, I feel like I know them already because of the experience I had, and I'm connected already to them. So no matter where they came from, you know, other, you know, country, not just the Philippines or India or Nigeria. So I just found myself, this is my purpose, I guess. And I found my husband here. Yeah. So that was a valid reason to stay here.
Yeah, that's a good reason.
It is, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So that's an amazing experience. Thank you for sharing that. Tell us about your experience, because I think it's a very interesting one as well. Because you come from a larger city initially as well, right?
That's right. That's right, Leah. So I grew up in Winnipeg, which is about, just for context for people that aren't familiar with the region, it's about a 7-hour drive if you're driving regulation limits north of Winnipeg. So I grew up there, but then I left school after high school and went to Toronto and then went to New York and then was in San Francisco for a little while and then Montreal and Miami. And then I ended up actually meeting a gentleman who grew up here, who became my fiance recently. So similar to Anna Lynn, we both found love here and stayed for it. but that was what kind of the driving factor, what brought me up here in the first place. So he and I had met, as people do nowadays, on a dating app. He was very committed to his community up here in the Paw and made it very clear from our first date, you know, this is where I live. This is my lifestyle. This is where my work is, and I'm not willing to compromise that. So if, as long as you're okay with that, we can keep going out. And I said to him, well, I kind of am a nomad and I work remotely. And as long as you're okay with that, we can keep going out. And then I came up to visit after about 6 months of dating, and I never left.
So
Gabrielle, Gabrielle, when you said you do remote work, that was going to be my question for you about what do you do. And I know we're going to ask you about what you do currently, but so you have the ability to work remotely and that works up in the Paw. Like you would say, exactly. If there's people that are doing remote work, that's a strong possibility then.
Absolutely. We have a couple different options locally for internet, and we ended up going with a Starlink setup. So, I live even further outside of town. I'm about a 10-minute drive outside of the Paw proper. So technically I live in the rural municipality of Kelsey, in an area called Rawls Island, which is really beautiful. A lot of small acreages and some larger acreages up where we are. And yeah, so I work for a company, I'm happy to share if that's okay, called Insight, sure. Which is based, their global headquarters is based in Arizona, and their Montreal headquarters is the Canadian headquarters. So I report to the Montreal office. I technically work in Eastern time, so it's 10:18 for me in work hours. And I live in Central, and it's great. I end work an hour earlier than everybody else does, so I get a little bit of flexibility with my schedule.
And what was your experience starting out living in a smaller town? Because like you said, you've been in cities your whole life. Was that an adjustment for you initially?
You know, I had been looking for something, like Anna Lynn said, a little bit more relaxed. When you're in a city, it's very go, 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 go. You have to be extremely efficient with how you plan things. You know, you're just being pulled in a lot of different directions, and it's a very competitive environment. The Paw is not that. It's very slow pace. It's not competitive in the sense that, you know, there aren't 17 or 20 other people trying to do the exact same thing that you're trying to do. You know, my partner has a small plumbing business, and he has an employee, and he's very important to our community because there's only one other ticketed plumber in our community other than himself. So, you know, there's not a lot of competition, to the point that when people have needs, it's hard because he can't work 24 hours a day. Nobody can. So you end up having to say no a lot. So when I first came up here, you know, I was introduced to our circle of friends. And one of the, I think the second week I was here, somebody said to me, you know, anything that you want to do in the Paw, you can do here. If you have an idea for a business or a vision for what you want to create in your life, you can do that here, and you can do it successfully, and you can do it with a really great support system and with low competition. So really what that means is for somebody that's coming from a different country or a different background that has an idea of what they want to create for themselves, if you try to do that in a city, there's 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 other people trying to do that alongside you. The real estate costs are really expensive. Here, it's a lot less expensive to get into the game. So if you're coming like Anna Lynn did without a lot of support, without any family, without any resources, it's really hard in a city to get anywhere. Whereas if you come here and you're in that same position, you can really create something for yourself. You can create something legacy for your family that you can pass on to your children. There's a lot of really businesses in town that, you know, would be an amazing thing to pass on to children. Some of those people don't even have children. So they're looking for young, hungry entrepreneurs that want to come and take over those businesses, buy those, turn them over. And we've seen that time and time again. Anna Lynn, I'm sure you have an even closer perspective to that. The newcomer families that have bought local businesses that are running them successfully and really being able to bring over their whole family, because there's also jobs for their whole family when they come over. So there's a lot of that happening here. And just to speak from a non-newcomer standpoint as well, we see a lot of really good talent coming to our community because, again, of that low competition. So there was a woman that moved here recently from Ottawa, who's working for the Northern Health Authority in something to do with mental health awareness and supports in our community. But she was working on a national level before. She's very young. She wants to move up in her career and get experience. It's a little bit like the startup world, being in a rural community. You know, you wear a lot of hats in the areas that you're working in, but you get that broad experience. You're given opportunities to actually lead projects and take things on and develop things in a way that really can help you make your mark. So whether you choose to stay and build a life here around that, or whether you choose to go and follow a different path and go to a big city in the end, you're going better equipped to do the job. You're going with more skills that's going to help separate you from the competition that we talked about earlier. And you're going from a position of have as opposed to have not. So this is a place where whatever you want to have, you can create.
I feel like you nailed it pretty much exactly that. Like, you know, that's exactly it. Like, there's just so much unrealized opportunity that people don't realize that you can do. Because like you said, there's no competition. And every small community we've talked to, they're like, here's an opportunity right here. Here's an opportunity right here. Like, you know, no, well, exactly.
Even last year, I remember people in the community talking about, oh, there's 300 open job postings right now. And I don't know what that number is exactly today, but there were 300 open jobs.
In the Paw area.
In the Paw specifically. Wow. And so it's, you know, people are always, oh, it's so hard to get a job. It's just come here. If you want to work, if you're willing to step up and do the job, like, obviously, I don't think it was Anna Lynn's dream to work at Subway. I can confidently say it was never her dream, but just because I know her well enough to say that.
It was a stepping stone, exactly.
And like, if you're the kind of person that's willing to do something that's maybe not exactly your dream job, you can then turn that into your dream job, just like Anna Lynn did, which is a pretty special thing. And I think a lot of other areas, it's not that supportive. I did also just want to mention one other thing, because I noticed it last week. I was at a nail salon in town, and there's a couple of them, but not a lot again, because it's low competition here. But I noticed when I was leaving the salon, they do, you know, facials and things like that there too. And I noticed they had a business card for one of their competitors at the front, which I thought was just, you know, really sweet and just kind of sets the tone of how we are here in the Paw and in the surrounding communities. We call it the tribe community because it's the Paw, it's the Opaskwayak Cree Nation, and then the rural municipality of Kelsey. And all of the people, from what I've seen and experienced in the last 3.5 years, they're very supportive of each other. People aren't here to undermine each other or step on each other's toes. I'm sure it happens from time to time, but it's not an intentional thing. You know, there was a friend of mine who's a business owner, and someone was saying just yesterday, he sells a lot of things at his store, and he always does a walk around the mall first to make sure if he's thinking about bringing something in, is somebody else in this area selling this already? Because if they are, then I'm not going to sell it because somebody's already doing it. But if they're not, then I'll fill that gap. And I think that's just a really beautiful sentiment for how we kind of work together here as much as possible.
So I'm going to follow that up, and I'm going to put you guys on the spot here a little bit and just even throw me a couple examples. But let's go back to your workforce opportunities, right? And I agree with you, Gabrielle. Everybody has to start somewhere. Even the young Canadians, you know, I think that you could honestly say everybody's had a CSR job, a customer service, Subway, right? Like nobody jumps in, not even a Canadian jumps into, you know,
I worked in a fish and chip restaurant serving ice cream.
Yeah, we've done it all. So it doesn't matter if you're a young Canadian or if you're somebody that has to immigrate, we all start with those kind of jobs. So it just, it's, you know, it creates that experience. So when we talk about the PAW, also, Leah, don't let me forget to follow this up, but when we talk about the PAW, afterwards, I want to hear more about what the PAW is. And then when you look it up, you're going to see that everybody's going to call it the PAS because it's P-A-S. And I think we'll talk about that, the history and the Métis and stuff like that. But let's just jump back though. Workforce, what are some workforce opportunities? Because we just generally say, oh, there's lots to do, but like, are we talking education? Are we talking trades? Are we talking mining? You know, so just some examples. So when people are thinking, they could say, yeah, that seems like something I'm able to do.
So we have the big company here called CKP, Canadian Craft Industry. So they process some paper, you know, products. And so for people that has that, you know, experience, you know, in that industry. So they have that opportunity to come and work, and they offer good benefits and good wages for people. So that's something that we offered here in the North. Like, I think when it comes to wages, we have very competitive wages, you know, in this community. So I think that's a good reason, you know, for people to stay in, you know, because if you live into the, you know, big city, you won't find that opportunity. It depends what kind of job you have. But yeah, I found this community, you know, offer good wages for people, you know, to work in that company. Also, we have University College of North. So I think they're one of the top 25 employers, you know, in this area, in this community. So people who wanted to go for education, and if you want to get a good program, you know, like nursing, you know, they can go and enroll in University College of North. Also, the Northern Health Region, which provide medical, you know, job services. So also it's my employer from before I get this job, so it's a good opportunity. And I think they have that program that you know, if you have that experience back home or education, and you can, you know, bridge that here and then get this, you know, nursing degree or healthcare aid, you know, it's very popular in common area in town. So other is Town of the Pas and some local businesses in town that offer good wages. And I was also working at women's shelter before. It was a part-time job when I was working at the hospital. So I'm working with First Nation people. Like these clients, you know, they have this trauma story that, you know, they were abused by their partners. So working there, I feel like I was so lucky I came here because I never had that experience in the past. But seeing this woman, you know, get abused, and it was a good experience for me to know those kind of a story. I don't know. I'll let Gabrielle to share some other, you know, opportunity and
business. Yeah, you really touched on the key ones and some things I just wanted to add to it with regards to CKP, Canadian Craft Paper. You can start as an unskilled laborer there, and they provide opportunities where you're getting paid to be trained to do whatever aspect of the job that interests you. So there's definitely opportunities for growth there. And then again, to Annalyn's point, the compensation from that specific employer, it's very competitive, especially for the unskilled. And then as you gain the skills through their training programs, obviously mm-hmm. your increases in wage are reflected to match what your education and the learning that you do there. And then with regards to UCN, University College of the North as well, I know friends of ours who are instructors there that are doing continuing education programs and, you know, leveling up their own university educations through different programs and having opportunities to go to conferences that the school pays for. So if you have, again, a vision of what you want for yourself and you want to start, you know, start over here and end up over there, there are paths through employment here where they will help to cover some of those expenses for you. So that can be very valuable, again, especially somebody coming that doesn't have the same resources that maybe somebody whose family's been in Canada for several generations has. I think it helps to level the playing field a little bit.
And it's nice that you don't have to move, right? Like you don't have to go to Winnipeg for education. You can live work and get your training, you know, through UCN. And I think that's,
yeah,
that's really nice. Are there a lot of, would you say, sort of entry level customer service positions as well? Like, you know, like you talked about Subway, like sort of more of that for maybe someone who's moving, who has maybe lower level English, yeah, that maybe can't get those professional jobs right away.
Definitely. And there's supports too. Like I don't have permission to speak on behalf of other employers in the community. So I want to be mindful of that. But just some of the things that I know about certain, you know, what we'll call service jobs. There's people who own a service business, a restaurant, for example, and they also own an apartment building. So when they're helping people to come over to fill those service jobs, they're also able to provide them with low-cost housing. Okay. That's safe and clean and yeah, you know, maintained. So it's not just, oh, here, show up to this job that, again, you know, we're going to just say it's not everybody's dream job to do that business, but it's a start, a stepping stone. And then you have this additional layer of support with some of the owners there. And our, I know Annalyn will be able to speak to that more in terms of what some of the additional supports I know some of the other service restaurants can provide too.
Yeah, Annalyn, I'd be good to know what all, as someone, a newcomer moves to the pot, what supports are offered? Because I think that's really important for people, right? To know, like, how can they get their English? How can they, you know, do all those things that they need to do?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good question also, because working in this sector, when they come here, when you say newcomers, you know, you would, you know, probably, you know, ask about what about the language, you know, like before they came here, they don't speak, but then after a few years, they're able to speak and communicate. So that's one of the success that I've seen for one of my friends that moved here, I think 5 years ago. And when she came here, barely speak English, she knew how to speak yes or no, and then her name, and that was it. So it was hard for me to understand her, you know, at the beginning, but then I never gave up helping her. So I referred her to study online, like online platforms, like let's say English online. And but also it doesn't work for some people like her. So we have some resources here, like Closely Learning Center. They provide this language support for people, you know, so they can go and study or, you know, practice their English. And then after 6 months or 1 year, they'll give them, you know, this a mature graduate diploma, and then they can practice it. And then the success that I've seen from her is after 3 years, she graduated in the pre-mature diploma, and now she's working as an admin assistant at the dental clinic. And she can communicate with people. And that was, you know, like inspiring stories to share, because seeing her, you know, success, you know, and how she started here and then to here. And she's very active in community also. And she was volunteering, you know, every time we have event here. So it's a good one. And also we also provide in our office, we have some conversation that they can come and practice, you know, and we have some, you know, very good volunteer, you know, they were like a previous teacher before, and they would volunteer their time to have this conversation for newcomers so they can practice and meet new people. And it was a good way, you know, to learn the language. I think you have to speak it and practice it for you to be able to speak and communicate. Not all people who come here, they know how to speak the language.
And that's great to hear that their support. That's the realm I work in, is working with companies and language. And I mean, that's the number one thing I tell people. You have to support your employees. You have to have the language supports. Otherwise, people can't grow into those other professional positions. And especially, I think, in a place like the PAW, if you want people to stay, you have to offer those supports so that they stay, right? And that's for anything, not just language. But Gabrielle, like you mentioned, there needs to be housing. There needs to be... people need to see, you know, opportunities. And so in terms of that, Gabrielle, can you speak a bit about the PAW? Like, how large is it in terms of population and things like housing? I was sort of looking beforehand. It's pretty affordable. Like,
yeah, awesome. In terms of size, it depends who you ask and on which day. But we say about 5,000 people in the PAW proper, which within the town limits. And then there's about another 5,000 people in the rural municipality of Kelsey, which is where I live. And then there's about another 5,000 or 7,000 people on the reserve on OCN. Yeah. So combined, we're about 15,000. Then our community services a larger scope than that as well, because there's a lot of smaller communities around us, some fly-in communities. So we have a really great hospital here. And a lot of people are coming in just to utilize us for services like that.
And I was looking just at houses, and I mean, I was seeing houses between the 200 to 400,000, which to me, I mean, exactly. That's amazing.
A nice house. Know? It's not like in Winnipeg, if you're getting a house for 200 to 400,000, it's maybe, it probably needs a lot of work, or it's really old, or it's in, you know, a neighborhood that maybe isn't safe. And here that's like a luxury home. Like it's a beautiful home, like that would be a $1 million home somewhere else.
That's, I just live about 15 minutes north of Winnipeg, and I would say a starter home is over 400,000 where I am. And that's like a 3-bedroom bungalow, you know, built 40 years ago, you know? So yeah, that's, and that's another great example of, you can come to the pot, you can get a good paying job, and you can buy a good house, you know, and you can afford that. And I think, and as a young person, that's so hard to do in a city. It's, you can't do it in a city, you know? Yeah.
You can. And the other thing I just wanted to circle back to really quickly with regards to the language, we have a really strong French speaking community here as well because of the Métis roots of our area. So for people who are French speakers that are newcomers or just French speakers in general that want opportunities, and I know Leah, you had mentioned you started out as a teacher in Thompson, and after a year we're running a division. I think our superintendent of the school division, he was promoted from principal of the high school to superintendent of the school division last year. And I think he's only a couple years older than me. So he's early 40s. And to be a superintendent of a school division at 40 years old is almost unheard of. And I remember him speaking about that. And if he wasn't where he was, and he grew up here. So it's a really beautiful thing to see somebody born and raised here, stay here, make this their home, and really take on leadership roles and within their career trajectory. And so just the idea of anybody that speaks French, I know our French school division is desperately seeking more French teachers. So if there is somebody listening that has a French background that has been considering moving north or looking at rural opportunities, that would be something that would be very valuable to us here. And so very easy. And it's just a little bit easier, you know, if you don't have English, but you have French, that helps with that transition too. So just something for people to keep in mind.
Yeah. And there's the international mobility pathway that the government of Canada is really pushing. And so you basically, you get to bypass the provincial nominee program. So, which is, we're struggling with that right now. But anyway, so you get to pass go. And I really, you know, I think that's would be a great strategy for the PAW to look at and say, you know, we are a French speaking community region. And oftentimes rural Northern Canada doesn't take advantage of those like pathways, right? So it's very, the employer doesn't need to do a labor market impact study. They don't need to do any of that. They just need to have a valid job offer and offer it to someone that basically has a CLB, well, it wouldn't be a CLB, maybe a TEF of 7, let's say, right? So so any of our French speaking listeners in Canada or abroad, this is definitely a great pathway for you to look at, and lots of good jobs, especially in the education system.
So, Annalyn, what would you say in terms of, you know, newcomers moving to the PAW? What are the challenges that you have noticed that people have coming? So if someone was thinking of moving to Northern Manitoba, the PAW, what are things you would say, maybe things they should research or what they need to prepare for? Or what are some things they should do when they first, you know, think about, you know, obviously they need to connect with you, number one. but what other things should they be thinking about or just be prepared for?
I think the climate, the weather, because it's not that, you know, when I move here, there was a time that I experienced minus 50. That was way, way back before. But the weather is changing, you know, every year, you know, so then they have to research about the weather, also the housing availability, because if they are, you know, planning to work with employers that doesn't provide those services, it's hard to find a housing. It's limited, options here. So they need to know someone to get a place to stay here. You know, you're lucky if you find, there's some people that offers their, you know, like basement or room. I've rented a room for like over 5 years with the people I know. And, you know, it's not the best place to stay, but then if you don't have an option, you have to get it. You know what I mean? So for you to just to get this place and stay in town to work. So, you know, for them to come in here, they have to research about the climate. I think, resources, depends what they want to do and what they have to work for. I think people are different, you know, I like, you know, going out in winter and spend time outside, you know, with with my dog and my husband. You know, they have to find, you know, their interest and passion, you know, what to do, you know, here, because winter is longer than summer. You know, if they love summer, this is a short summer for us here in Nepal, because we have a, you know, a tough winter here, you know, time to time. So also for the resources, yes, they have to come and stop by to us and then get some resources. And if we don't have here, you know, we can refer them to, you know, to the services that they are being offered.
In terms of rental properties, is that a bit more challenging than, say, just buying a house? The finding a place to rent is a little more tricky?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. When you are planning to stay here and buying a house, there's some, you know, options to buy a house and a good price. And that's like what Gabrielle said, you know, you'll find a good house here, you know, better than in a city for just $250,000, you know. But, you know, for renting, we have some, you know, like list of landlords, but then it's a long wait for them to get you know, space. You know, you have to wait for a year or two to get, you know, the apartment or the space you wanted. So sometimes that's the, you know, challenges for people to come here also, the place to stay if employers doesn't offer those services.
So that's an opportunity for a construction company.
Definitely.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about coming to visit you guys, because I'm a huge believer. I'm a rural developer by training. That's my background. So I'm a huge believer of telling people to, before they relocate to somewhere, is to go experience that place for a period of time, right? Like it be at camping or whatever it may be. You guys have the Trappers Festival, which I love. I've been there a couple of times. So anyways, tell us about the Trappers Festival, and maybe that could be a destination for somebody looking to relocate or immigrate, and that if they're in Canada, just tell us about it and what it's about and why they should come and visit the Trappers Festival or any other opportunities you guys have there for somebody to come visit.
Well, I think that's a good time of year to suggest, because it is the coldest time of year that it happens at. I would say February 1st to 15th is typically the coldest 2 weeks of the year that we get. But as Annalyn mentioned, with climate change, the weather does change a little bit. So every year is a little different. 2 years ago, we didn't even get enough snow that they had to cancel the dog sled races for the Trappers Festival. Yeah. That was sad. And to Annalyn's point, you know, if you want to live in the paw, it helps that you like winter a little bit, right? Like if summer is your thing that you love the most, then maybe, like I love when it's hot out. Don't get me wrong. I love it. It's going to be 29 degrees here on Friday. I'm planning to take half a day off work and go to the lake, because we have one of the clearest lakes in the world, about a 20-minute drive from us. It's called Clearwater Lake. But with regards to visiting, and you can camp there, like Clearwater is a national park, a provincial park. So you can go camping there. There's lots of different areas. You can do camping like in tents, or you can bring your RV, and there's an RV park and do that. In the winter, there's a few different hotel options. I would say if you're coming for Trappers Festival, you would need to book your hotel a few months in advance, because it'll be very busy with, it's such a popular time of year. But the festival really goes back to the trappers who made their living by trapping animals and selling the fur to furriers and to different merchants. And so the time of the festival is actually based on the time of year that the trap line dries up, where the trappers weren't seeing a lot, and they would come to the community after being out in the bush for months and months collecting all of these hides, and they would come in and sell them. So that's kind of the origins of the festival. And you'll have to forgive me, I'm not that up to speed on my Trappers Festival knowledge, but I believe it was 1916 or 1914 that was the first year. And I think it's happened every year except for 2 years during World War II. And I believe there was 1 year of COVID where it didn't happen. But yeah, it's a really fun celebration for anybody that is very unfamiliar with the Northern lifestyle. It's a really great crash course on what it's like to live in the north, what it's like to experience the temperatures, and you get to really get a sense for what the community looks like when it comes together. There's a lot of different things that happen throughout the year, though. They're really special. The PAW is known as one of the top five rural communities in Canada for participation in Culture Days, and that's actually how Annalyn and I met. Annalyn through the Immigration Center, with myself through the Arts Council, and some other great people worked together to put together a Culturama festival, which highlights and showcases, I think last year it was 18 different communities, nationalities and newcomers that have made the PAW their home and really allowed everybody in the PAW to better understand and celebrate the different cultures that we have mm-hmm. happening here. So that things like that are constantly taking place in our communities as ways just for, you know, depending on what type of things you like to engage with, whether it's arts and culture or whether it's fishing and hunting, we have really everything on both ends. It's just, again, it's not like a city. You can't go out every Thursday night and go to a different gallery opening. That's not going to happen. We have one local gallery and every 3 months they do a gallery opening and a new show. And you know, it's, there's just less of the same things that you can get everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
But like you said, there's still lots of activities going on. And I think that's, you know, and I think what's important is just variety for people, right? You have something, yeah. something for everyone, right? Like, I'm assuming yeah. there's things like you have a gym and right and a pool or, you know,
multiple gyms. So. We have an amazing pool facility that's connected to the high school building, but run by the town. But like when I moved here, like I was living in New York City, I was hustling every day, working every day, 17 to 20 hours with mm-hmm. 6 to 7 days a week. Okay. So like I didn't have a work-life balance. I didn't know about what's a hobby. I didn't have those. And then I moved here and my partner really likes to cross country ski. So I tried cross country skiing. I love cross country skiing more than anything. I cannot believe that I went, you know, 35 years of my life without cross country skiing. Cause now all summer, even though I love the heat and I love being outside, all I think about is, okay, there's 120 days till we can cross country ski.
Well, and you guys have lots. When I moved to Thompson, I didn't realize there's a ski hill there. So, I mean, even in the north, like you can go downhill skiing if you want. Mm-hmm. You don't even have mm-hmm. to go south or go out to the mountains. Like, and it's a great hill. You know, yeah. there's so many opportunities in the north to do things. And like you said, especially if you love winter activities, right? Like you're hunting, you're fishing, you're snowmobiling, you're like everything. Yeah. No, there's lots.
I just ordered my first snowmobile. It'll be here in October. Oh. So that makes me official.
Yeah, exactly.
You are in now. Yeah. So I want to say, the PAW really, I think, is a community in a region that's often overlooked, even by people that live in the Prairie Provinces. So, you know, I think we've summarized there is your education, which you have UCN, University of the North, and they have the early childhood education program, if I remember correctly. They mm-hmm. have trades, they have our nursing. And I think for all those immigrating, or even just relocating to rural and northern areas, you got to really keep in mind, so it's for our listeners, is that you got to keep in mind that you are looking at places that are offering education that meet the needs of the provincial immigration strategy, as well as has jobs to offer. So I think if you look at the PAW, you guys really wrap that up well. You have the workforce opportunities for those who take the proper education, and you have a really great community to live in that's affordable and welcoming, that has resources such as the settlement office. I think you have a community futures there as well. So you have like different and really great resources to help newcomers and even those that want to relocate. So I just, you know, I know we're running out of time, but I just want to really put that out there to people that the PAW is really a one-stop shop if you really give it a chance. I think it's a great mm-hmm. town.
It is. Yeah, and no. Can I add something that you can cut out later if you don't think it's a good thing to say? and maybe cut that part for sure. If you look up the PAW online and you see a lot of the media that comes out of our community, we struggle with maintaining good public relations with the big media outlets down south. And they only, I shouldn't say only, almost only feature us when something bad is happening. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who are looking it up and thinking, oh, I don't know that that's safe, I don't know that I want to live there, this is a really great place to live. And for the most part, mm-hmm. if you have street smarts about you, this is a very safe place to live. And we just struggle with getting all of the really cool and interesting and diverse things that we are constantly programming for ourselves here to be featured outside of our community. So I would say, you know, don't judge a book by a cover that's designed by people that have never been here yeah. or that only come here when they hear, you know, oh, there was something bad happened. Mm-hmm. Because that's, I think, something that, you know, I've been working really hard to try to flip the script on in terms of what the outside media is covering in terms of what we do here and what we're about and all the positive things that are coming together and happening. It's hard to know really what a place is until you actually experience it, especially when the media lens is so skewed.
Yeah. Well, I really hope that changes for you guys, but I do want to say encountering that anywhere can be an unsafe place to live, but not everywhere has the opportunities and affordability like you guys do. So you do really have a lot going for you. So that's what I would say back to the media.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to talk about that too, I mean, you know, and people think, oh, it's so far. It's really not that far north, you know, okay. 6-7 hours. I mean, we're all in Manitoba, so we think nothing, you know, I think nothing of driving a couple hours to a party or something, right? But, you know, 6-7 hours is not that long. You have airlines, you can fly, you know, it's really not. If you need to get out for a weekend, you can. It's 100% easy to do. And I think there's lots of benefits. I find employers in North, you know, sometimes there's northern living benefits. There's, you know, opportunities like that if people need to get out for certain things. And I think that's really important to showcase
as well. And medical too, Leah. Like if you have a medical situation that isn't something that can be handled here, you can fly down to Winnipeg on a medical flight. So there are, and I don't remember the exact cost anymore, but it's extremely affordable compared to what a retail flight is. So yeah, there's definitely supports in place for that.
Yeah. And I think exactly. So I think that's important for people to know that you can still have all those supports that you need as well. So yeah, I think we're coming to the end here. You both have showcased amazingly. We always like to showcase, you know, a couple. So I'd love to hear from both of you. Is there a certain maybe place, restaurant or something that you could each recommend that's in the power or in the region that you would recommend to people coming to visit?
I can start with that. Okay. Like, I think I love eating, you know, exploring and, you know, trying new foods and culture, cuisine. But there's one of a good place that I always wanted to go every time we have some celebration, like birthday or party. So this restaurant called it Good Times. It's not just because the name is Good Times, you're having a good time. But I like the environment, the food there. And it's a nice place, you know. When I have some friends visiting here in the park, I always, you know, took them there and then, you know, dine and have some food. It's a nice place. I don't know, Gabrielle, you agree with me?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely the restaurant to eat at for sure. I would also say, it's not really a restaurant, but there's a bison farm about 20 minutes. I guess it's west. Yeah, 20 minutes west of town. And they'll sometimes do fun barbecues or cookouts and things like that on the bison farm. And that's a pretty special experience. So if you're coming up and you want to reach out to Around the Bend Bison Farm, I know they are really great about hosting people and out of town guests and things like that.
Okay, that's both very cool, interesting places we'll have to try. When I come up to the Trappers Festival, I'll come in the winter, and then I come in the summer, then I will come to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, amazing. Thank you to both of you for coming and chatting with us today. We really appreciate it. You're speaking like exactly how we feel about rural and Northern Canada. Like these are the opportunities that people are missing out on. So the more we can talk about it and showcase it, the more we can get people to see, like, just move north, move rural. Like you won't be disappointed. The opportunities are endless, you know?
Thanks, ladies.
Yeah. Thank you so much for focusing on our community. It's, I mean, I know for myself, I think for Annalyn as well, it's a very special place and it's really awesome to be able to share that with other people who've either never heard of us or weren't really sure what to think when they did hear about us.
Yes. And thank you for this opportunity. I think me and Gabrielle are lucky to be here and you guys give this opportunity to share our stories. And I'm for sure a lot of people have, you know, like inspiring stories like us. But yeah, I think we're just lucky to be here and have this conversation with you guys. Thank you.
As we close here, we're going to these places we've talked about. We're going to have all that in the show notes for everyone listening. You can find all that in the show notes. If people want to connect with you, obviously afterwards, we'll get the information. And then if people want to connect with you about moving or, you know, Gabrielle, about opportunities in the north, we'd love to have that for people to reach out as well if they're interested. So we'll make sure to have all that to everyone in the notes as well. Thank you, everyone, once again for listening. Lindsay, you can close us down.
Till next time, live rural, live well.
If you feel this could assist other people like yourself, please like and share our podcast. As well, we will leave links below to the topics we spoke about today.
Thank you for listening, and join us next time to learn about another great company and community that is a great place to work and settle.